Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's 3 o'clock on Dukes and Bell.
How are you feeling about that?
It's going good.
What are some of the things that you're trying to focus on here?
Just trying to get good, be good.
While you're trying to be good,
it's going pretty good.
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It is Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Willie P. is in for Carly. By the way, Mikey, who won those tickets?
Hey, man, we got tickets for the Sacramento Kings and your Atlanta Hawks. So we got Will Embry from Marietta and Jonah Willis from Loganville talking to Jarvis. Apparently, Jonah knew Jarvis from back at Albany State, so apparently the contest was rigged. But anyway, no, he didn't. He actually played in a historically black school, but he remembers Jarvis playing defensive line, which is kind of cool. Jarvis is like the giant grimace down there when he was playing back in Arena League, too. But, hey, man, Willie is in for Carl, who's got a day off today. You got to use him, baby. Got to burn him. And El Presidente in town, so the traffic. Again, I haven't heard a few guys on the text line saying that what a nightmare it was at different parts. You're actually staying in the hotel where the president was speaking at or is speaking at up in Buckhead.
So I'm coming down into the lobby to get my morning coffee, and the place is swarming with Secret Service and bomb-sniffing dogs right. And the whole bit. And I'm just sitting there just like, of all the gin joints in the world, he's got to come and be in my hotel.
Right?
Really?
Well, you stayed at this really funky spot in Midtown.
I was. Last time I was
right.
There.
And Will, by the way, he does radio in Greenville, and he's going to eventually be doing some work with us. He'll be moving to Atlanta, but he's doing that hotel living for the time being. So, yeah, man.
It's rough, man.
And we talked about this the other day. I think for the Georgia and Alabama fans that were at the national championship game at Mercedes-Benz a couple years back,
yeah,
that was crazy because it started raining. And it was cold, and you had to basically just hunker down in space, or in place, I should say. We couldn't leave. We were trying to get home in time to watch the game. Didn't have tickets,
right.
So I was stuck over by the aquarium and over there by Lucky Street. And then you can't go across the street because you're waiting for the motorcade to come down. So that we can imagine it'll be much of the same as they'll be clearing the interstate as he's got to make his way around. But anyway, more on that with Will Guerra coming up in traffic. Real quick, this is arguably the worst week for fantasy football players.
Right.
You realize there's six teams on a bye this week? Every week it's usually four. I was talking to Will during the commercial break. I had like the great choice of Derek Carr or Phillip Rivers last night.
Dude.
Or none of the above. And I got like a couple of points from Phillip Rivers, had all the picks. But there are six teams on the bye this week, and it's all cross-divisional. Broncos, Texans, Jaguars, Patriots, Eagles, Redskins.
Killer. And we had a guy on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line who said Renfro, he had the start Hunter Renfro, shorted him in fantasy points last night, had only 1.3. I'm guessing he's in a PPR league.
So, lost
$100, this guy.
But it is part of, you know, the landscape now, billions of dollars. It is, you know, obviously wagered, and guys like us who play fantasy football. This is something, please, NFL, don't do this again. This is kind of screwy. You ready for a blitz?
Speaking of the Shield.
Let's hear you say it.
Let's blitz!
Hi. Welcome to the NFL.
With news and notes from around the league, this is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
And it is brought to you by Priority Men's Medical Center. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com.
We were talking about Thursday Night Football, which was the 26-24 victory for the Oakland Raiders. You like Gruden. I'm kind of still in on Gruden.
I get a kick out of him. I mean, I know that a lot of the stuff does seem manufactured for television, the antics. I love the quarterback camps he used to do with the players coming. I mean, the one with Mahomes was one of my favorites. Kind of gave you a taste of what Mahomes was going to be all about at the next level. But real quick, here's John Gruden about the resiliency to silver and black. I'll tell you what.
This just says a lot about our team. You know, we got a lot of resilient guys. They're going to keep competing. You know, you may beat us, but we're going to be hard out to get.
Yeah, they're 5-4. the Antonio Brown nonsense.
Dude, how good do they have to feel now about all this stuff going on with Antonio Brown the last couple of days? I'm sure he has to feel a little chesty about
Knock
that.
Knock on wood if you have that message, please. And we're here to help you.
Knock on wood.
We're here to help you.
Cleveland Farrell. I don't know what Mayock was doing on that one. I thought he was on mushrooms. But no, that guy shows up last night, gets 2.5 sacks. So a guy, again, rookie, he's got more sacks than Vic Beasley. They all played at Clemson. Matter of fact, he's got more sacks than Tack and Vic put together.
Oh, yeah.
Cleveland Farrell.
Why? Why are you going to do that?
Well, it's just, you know what? We can do this all day. I'll find obscure defensive ends in the league that have got more sacks than our two defensive ends combined. It'll be like a fun sports fact. But the Raiders are 5-4 after really struggling early on. Defense is still a work in progress. They've lost all their safeties. But how about that win last night?
Big win, a grinding game, and we're seeing the replay here on NFL Network. The thing, again, that I talked about before with you is just the fact that I just really didn't know what the Chargers were doing on that last drive. What in the world was Philip Rivers thinking trying to chuck and duck 30, 40 yards down the field with all three timeouts?
Yeah, I mean, remember, Wisenhunt got fired. This is what happens when you fire your offensive coordinator, right. And the next man up is not really, you got to put it on Philip Rivers, because as you said, he was just thrown around like he was playing in a sandlot.
Right.
Either way, it was ugly. Hey, Patrick Mahomes, man, no pain, no setbacks in practice. That's what they're saying out of Kansas City. What do you think about Patrick Mahomes? What are we going to see from him this week? Right back to regular production?
I think you have to. They wouldn't put him out there if he wasn't ready to go, and that's the thing that I believe, because if you're not healthy and you're not going to be 100% Patrick Mahomes, then why do you even throw him out there? I think Matt Moore is a good enough backup, a serviceable enough backup. I know that as Mahomes goes, the Chiefs go. I don't think they would put him out there if he wasn't completely ready to go.
So Mahomes is going to be rolling out there. And by the way, Kansas City taking on a good Tennessee defense. It's in Nashville, and they are a 6-point favorite, are the Chiefs.
You see this? The Redskins have chose not to pay the $5.1 million in salary with offensive tackle Trent Williams or anything that he'll have basically for the rest of the season. They say it's a voluntary decision. It's within their rights. But a bad look for a team that really kind of mishandled the cancer diagnosis with what was going on in his head.
Well, that's just it. The guy was a holdout. Then you get the backstory that he was dealing with a tumor and the fact that he doesn't really trust the organization. But at the end of the day, I expect nothing less from Daniel Snyder. But as you said, by NFL rules in the current CBA, they can give him a percentage or they can give him nothing.
Other guys in this particular predicament are guys like Jason Pierre-Paul, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Chargers offensive lineman Russell Okung. Each were paid roughly about 35% to 40% of their salaries while they were unable to be on the field.
Just too much acrimony in that thing. As you said,
please.
Those bridges are totally burned. But again, remember, he holds out, and then you get the story. You kind of feel a little empathy for him. At the end of the day, it's the worst organization in the NFL with the worst owner and the worst general manager. And that's a team that, you know, anybody who likes these ridiculous scenarios, well, Tomlin will leave the Steelers and go coach. Who's going to? Nobody. I mean, yes, there's always going to be a guy looking for one of the 32 jobs in the NFL, but the Redskins, who'd want to work for that train wreck?
So we sit here after 9 weeks of the season, first year, the replay pass interference rule, 63 total replay reviews, only 9 overturned. Is this a one-and-done year for this rule?
Of course, obviously the overreaction to what happened in the NFC Championship with the Rams and the Saints. We talked to Rich McKay.
And we don't feel sorry for them either, by the way.
We talked to Rich McKay from the competition committee about this. To me, you've got the referees. Like, same thing, Will, the same thing happens in Major League Baseball with the umpires.
Yeah.
The guys never want to overrule the guy on the field on these judgment calls. So what's the purpose? Why even have this mechanism in place if you're not going to use it? And the thing is, the NFL, this has been one of the most awful seasons. We argued for years about turning over the older refs and the next generation, or even worse. There's no accountability, no rhyme or reason how replay is being used. We had a 10-minute replay sequence in the Steelers game a couple nights ago. I mean, it's the worst. And I don't know if the owners even give a flip.
Right.
You know, because as long as this is our drug in the NFL and we continue to watch, nothing's going to change with this.
You mentioned Mahomes with the injury. Another potential injury situation happening in Indianapolis. Jacoby Brissett, a game-time decision, according to head coach Frank Reich, who spoke Friday. He injured, of course, his knee in last Sunday's loss to the Steelers. He's been limited in practice all week.
Is it Hoyer is the backup there?
Yes.
All right, man, so you got six teams on a bye and Brian Hoyer starting. So this some slim pickings for fantasy owners out there.
Well, here's the bad part about this. People have talked a lot about why the NFL continues to drag as a product and the fact that there's all these games taken forever and there's all these flags. It's to prevent situations like you have here where you have six teams on a bye, Brian Hoyer starting, Kyle Allen starting. I mean, these are things that I know fans don't like when games drag like this, but they need to protect their most valuable entity, which is the quarterback.
But again, six teams on a bye week, guys, you got the Sunday ticket. You feel like you're getting bang for your buck on the red zone?
No.
Exactly. A.J. Green, by the way, speaking of less guys out there on the field, he said he was going to start. Zach Taylor said on Wednesday that he was going to play, and then he finds out, what's that? Oh, he's not on practice. He's not on the practice field. So I don't know if this is A.J. Green saying, why bother? But the ankle apparently is not responding to treatment like they thought it was. So no A.J. Green. This was the week he was supposed to return. What a mess the Bengals are.
And Lamar Jackson, questionable. Back on the practice field Friday, sat out with an illness Thursday. You said yesterday he was questionable with a diaper.
Yes, he had a bit of a tummy. They said there's a stomach virus that is going around. Is that going around here, by the way?
I hope not.
Pass me some of that hand sanitizer. No, but they said that a bunch of guys in the Ravens locker room are dealing with a stomach flu. So that's pretty awful if you have it.
The intramural rivalry known as the Jets and Giants saw a changing of the hands with Leonard Williams going from the Jets across to the Giants. The two actually happen to play this year in their once every 4 years matchup that occurs outside the preseason. He said he's looking forward to facing off against his former team, saying that, quote, "That's funny because I actually randomly thought in my head, what if I beat somebody and go to tackle Sam when I let him up and I say, oh, I can't hit him, but no, that won't happen. I'll finally get to tackle him and that's going to be fun."
Yeah, man, it's rare that the Giants and Jets do deals. I think it was the first time they had a trade in a season. So the Giants with Daniel Jones, I think you feel better than the Jets do with Sam Darnold, although the love affair with Daniel Jones and New York media overreaction to the win, the come-from-behind victory over the Buccaneers, a little over. I mean, he's still going to make mistakes. You still see that. He's still coughing the ball up. He's got to tighten up on the turnovers.
And here's a funny little twist. Saquon Barkley's dad grew up as a Jet fan. Barkley said he's going to stick to his guns.
I think what he said, I think he's going to wear a Jets jersey. That's going to be an interesting one. But I gave it to him because it's a Joe Namath jersey. I think I got him that jersey, actually, the Joe Namath one. So, but at the end of the day, I know this situation is going to come about one day, but I'm happy for him, you know. I was a Jets fan growing up, too. So it's fun. It's going to be a little fun competition in Barkley House.
That's pretty cool, man. And look, the old man's still going to be wearing his Jets gear. I know my house, my family, it was a house divided. My mom and my brother were Jets fans. My dad and I grew up Giants fans in New York. Hey, by the way, it's our NFL Blitz brought to you by our buddies over at Priority Men's Medical Center. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. More fantasy implications, as we said, on a thin week talent-wise. Adam Thielen, add him to that list with A.J. Green. Thielen is now officially out. The hamstring injury did not respond to treatment, so you'll get your digs, but no Thielen this week. And they'll need Thielen because it's Minnesota taking on the Cowboys. Is that the Sunday night game?
I believe that's correct.
Right.
Cleveland Browns taking on the Buffalo Bills. We'll see whether or not Baker Mayfield and the Browns can get back up off the schneid. This seems like, you know, Captain Obvious here, but Baker Mayfield says, we have to find ways to get Odell Beckham Jr. the ball.
You know, people had this picture-perfect thing that it was going to be sunshine and rainbows, and he was going to have a whole lot of one-on-ones. It's Odell Beckham. He's going to have double coverage. We have to find ways to format things to get him the ball and force-feed him early on to where he can make an impact before we can, you know, have the perfect look to give him a shot.
Not for nothing, Mike.
It was going to be sunshine and rainbows? No, we thought you were going to take a step up as a, you know, first overall pick quarterback.
Not for nothing, right? But if Matt Ryan on a one-win team can find a way to get Julio Jones the football, you can find a way to get Odell Beckham Jr. the football.
But this goes back to Freddie Kitchens. You know, as we said all week, it was a feel-good story that, you know, Hugh Jackson and the toxicity in that coaching room. It seemed like a good guy that everybody related to, and now you realize that Kitchen, he can't handle it. He's totally over his head. You've got all these mercurial personalities. You've got and by the way, Kareem Hunt comes back, so you'll be, whether that takes away from Nick Chubb, but he'll be in the mix. By the way, thanks to our crack staff, Craig behind the glass, CCV, and Jarvis. You know, the Falcons, we've talked about the 1.5 sacks for Vic and half a sack for Tack. You know who's got more sacks than our entire defensive end combination?
Who's that?
Marcus
Davenport.
Yeah, Marcus Davenport. Corey Peters from Arizona has got more. Don Terry Poe, remember? Former Falcon. Remember we talked about it, Jarvis? It was going to be Vic Tack, Poe, and Grady?
Oh, gosh.
Not so much.
And, of course, you guys talked about it a lot yesterday, but Antonio Brown backtracked on his original vehement stance about, you know, to heck with the NFL and all that stuff and blankety, right, blankety, blank. He says he's determined to play in the league. And I'm sure that Roger Goodell is like, who? Who? Antonio who?
Yeah, man, this was a weird one. If you didn't see it yesterday, we had all the stuff. We couldn't really read it because it was so obscene, but he deleted the message where he basically tells the NFL to go blank itself. So Antonio Brown, we said it. When you finally hit rock bottom, we don't think he's there yet, Will. Eventually, you'll have to play the bipolarity card. You know, you got to say, I got mental illness. Maybe I got a touch of CTE if you ever want to play in the league again.
We'll do some college football next. We'll get our take on LSU Alabama. And has Chase Young played his final collegiate game with Ohio State? As Dukes and Bell continues, Willie P. in for Carl, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Dukes and Bell, Willie P. in for Carl. Hope you're avoiding the motorcade traffic. President in town, of course, causing delays all across as he's making his way out to the Georgia World Congress Center. You said you had some more names of guys who would be perplexing to look at who have more sacks than our vaunted defensive end pairing.
Yeah, thanks to our crack staff here, Jarvis and Craig. We've been looking at this throughout the commercial break. Let me throw some more names at you. Again, these are guys that have more sacks than our Vic Beasley and Tack McKinley combined. Our two first-round pick defensive ends. Dan Quinn was going to fix the defensive line. Just to keep you abreast of this, we already played you Marcus Davenport. I said we already played you Marcus Davenport. Ah, Craig, you know what? Yeah, you know what, Jarvis? He had a clean sheet. You know, he had a clean sheet. And so we got the first hit, and it happens in the third inning. So there you go.
I tell you what, man. You never can know with CCV on a day like today.
We have a sign, by the way, guys, because Craig, he's a lovable guy, but he's a complete screw-up. And so we have a board that is in our green room.
Zero
days without a Craig-related screw-up.
And by the way, also is an open mic Friday, so here comes CCV.
This is an open mic Friday. This guy calls plays. He's like, set this up. All right, I got you. Now he goes up to the line, starts audibling. Like, hold on.
Check razor.
Exactly. I mean, I just assume you can always pivot to get me Marcus Davenport. You know, I mean, Carl and the laugh, it's kind of like one of our go-tos. But anyway,
it's the way that works, apparently.
Let me throw some names at you. Aside from Marcus Davenport, guys that have more sacks combined than Tack McKinley and Vic Beasley. One guy. Well, here's an interesting name from up in Carolina. I saw this earlier, and I was like, you got to be kidding me. Eric Reed.
Oy.
Eric Reed, when he's not taking a knee or being hassled by the man, has got more sacks than Vic and Tack combined. He's got three.
Oy.
Our guys have one and a half for Vic and a half for Tack. That equals, last time I checked, two. Also out there, well, right here in Atlanta, Grady Jarrett. They can look no further than right across the locker room and see a guy who's got more sacks than there are two.
And he's not somebody who you necessarily need to get sacked.
Well, I mean, he certainly does the job week in, week out. Geno Atkins up in Cincinnati with three. Let's see here. We've got Derek Barnett in Phil, three and a half. And now we're getting really crazy. So there's a bunch of dudes out there that have got Vernon Butler in Carolina's got three. Everybody in Carolina's got sacked. You know what? Wow. I'll tell you what. Ron Rivera. You know something about
maybe
defense and getting
something.
Heat on the quarterback. By the way, there's one name, and it's pretty interesting. They drafted this guy. That's Michigan, right? Taco Charlton.
Yes.
I mean, John Fricke loves Taco.
Taco Fall. Taco Fall would be the attraction.
No. It's Taco Charlton. Taco Fall's a seven-foot six-person from Central Florida. Anyway, yes. Taco Charlton has got more sacks than Tack and Bickham. Back to you, Willie P.
It's all good, baby. I just hope that they can get it figured out. Whether it's you send more guys, whether it's, you know, you take the blitz packages and turn things around. I hope they worked on something during the off week that gets them more pressure on the quarterback because it's been very, very lacking.
Well, you and I have talked about this before. We just had Dave Archer on. If you missed it, we'll replay it for you in the 6 o'clock hour. But, I mean, if Vic is dropping back in coverage, and I get it. That's part of football. You're going to use that in multiple defenses. Right. I get all that. Jarvis and I have talked about this a million times. Jarvis, who's producing for Squid, we talked about calling it sort of a 5-2. You take away some of the effectiveness of Deion Jones. You've got Vic out there in space, not really doing much of anything. If you want to get a modicum of something out of number 44, the only way you're going to do that is him with his hand in the ground, trying to get some speed rush off the edge and hope that maybe he can disrupt Drew Brees that way.
That game against the Rams, I watched it from up top, and it just seemed like you had one guy in like a 2 technique and then one guy in like a 7 technique on the other side, and it's another guy who's outside the tackle, and it's just almost just kind of like, dude, put some guys up there on the line. Don't drop 8. Actually get some pressure.
Well, this was, of course, you know, initially it was to be used to help battle or be more effective against guys that can do the RPO thing. And again, we had Kyler Murray, and we talked about, you know, Russell Wilson. But this is Drew Brees. This is Drew Brees Drew Brees doing this thing where he looks up.
He's going to sling.
He's looking up, you know, he does that head bob where he's looking up over his center. You got to get the pressure up the middle, which Grady will provide. But where is the meat? Where is the beef coming from the edge? That's the thing.
Doesn't understand it. Of course, we've been talking a lot about the Chase Young issue. If you're just joining us, he said in a statement earlier today, unfortunately, I won't be playing this week because of an NCAA eligibility issue. I made a mistake last year by accepting a loan from a family friend I've known since the summer before my freshman year at Ohio State. We found out later on from Pro Football Talk that guy is a certified agent. I repaid it in full last summer, and I'm working with the university and the NCAA to get back on the field as soon as possible.
Now, obviously, it's an old school impermissible benefit. Mm. Now, the irony here is
the most impermissible benefit. Yeah. It's money.
But again, let's just say you grew up here in Metro Atlanta, and you go up to go to school at Columbus, Ohio. You're going to Ohio State,
right?
And you're coming up a little short. You lost your job as a barista when you're not studying, right. And your uncle or your friend or your uncle's friend lives up there in Cincinnati, and you know what? He's going to wire you $5,000 to get you through the semester or whatever. That you can do. But this guy can't do this, obviously, because of the agent connection. It looks shady. But we're going to be in a world in maybe 2 or 3 years, Will, maybe sooner, where players will be able to make money off their likeness, whether it's the jersey sales for a guy like Chase Young. And there's obviously thousands of people wearing his jersey up right there at the Horseshoe.
Well, the other part of this that I don't like is that this particular issue, the NCAA has tried to get out in front of it with the statement they made a couple of weeks ago, but they say they want to keep the collegiate model. And I said, no. The collegiate model is crap. The collegiate model shouldn't exist. There's no similarity between a college athlete and a college student. Yes, yes, you guys both go to class, but the college student and the student athlete don't have the same college experience. Many of these guys are going to college to major in athletic eligibility. You take, you know, hotel restaurant management courses. These aren't necessarily degrees that are going to get you to be like a Rhodes Scholar.
Well, I mean, the thing is, you have this old school mindset. We get it all the time. Well, every time, even now on the text line from Solomon Brothers, stop with our, you know, everyone wants to put their experience in and project that onto these guys. We get it. We all work 2 or 3 jobs. Guess what? We can't run a 4.3 40. We can't dunk a basketball. Let's stop with the facade of the student athlete. Now, look, if you want to go to Lehigh,
right?
Okay, you want to go to Bucknell, fine. You're the student athlete. You actually have a plan to go to Wall Street after college. You're actually going to put 4 years in. In college, you don't even know where the library is if you go play for John Calipari. Mm-hmm. Get the hell out of here. You're going, you're 2 semesters and you're gone. These guys are not trying to use this. I know people, well, they get a great education. No, these guys are trying to get to the NFL, okay? 1% of them make it. So what's wrong with having these guys have some walk-around money, find a ceiling. If you want to make it $10,000 or $15,000 and above that, you can tax it, so be it. But what, the world's going to spin off its axis? Well, you're making billions of dollars off this
then
stuff.
The biggest myth, too, is that this only will benefit football and men's basketball, because let's say it's like a volleyball player or a golfer at one of these places that has a big golf program. You think that they wouldn't be able to make some money off of a camp or private lessons or things of that nature? People would spend out the behind for that.
I mean, everyone says, wow, this is going to be terrible because now people are a big booster at Texas or a big booster at Alabama.
It already happens.
Bingo. And every time they tweak anything, we said this last week, Will. Remember they went with the early signing period and right, all these coaches, nothing changes. The same top 25 or the same top 50 programs are the same ones that are there. Nothing changes. So stop with this. You know, the pushback is so ridiculous. I get it. We've talked about this a million times. If you don't think that it's fair and equitable, that a kid gets a piece of the action, whether he's the 50th guy on the roster or the number one guy, this is making perfect sense. You got enough TV money coming in where you could already earmark it for them, but now the guys that actually do deserve more are going to get a little more. What's wrong with that?
Here's the other part of this, too, that I don't understand, is that the NCAA's biggest worry, they will never say this publicly, but their biggest worry is how they will get theirs.
Exactly. How do they get cut out of it, right?
How can they not realize, hey, we could find a way to make this happen where if you want to, say, contract somebody out for a particular deal, you have to give a percentage of what you give to the athlete to the university. Why is that not something that people who are reasonable inside that palatial office in Indianapolis where Mark Emmert sits there and does nothing,
right,
why do they not realize that, hey, we can actually turn this into something that benefits us in addition to all the money we make off the TV?
Right. And a lot of people also brought up the Title IX aspect of this, and this kind of bypasses that because, again, if your sport is only watched by fans that are your family, you know, you're not generating revenue. That's
right.
These are the breaks. But the other big sports, are, again, you know, an athletic department works. Your big-time programs, the money from there keeps those programs alive. That nothing with that changes. You're just simply going to be able, for instance, a guy like Chase Young, he could make money. Jake Fromm could make money off the likeness, the jersey sales. What's wrong with that? Why is that so horribly wrong? Why the student athlete?
Because it's not
thing,
the way we've always
guess
done
what?
It.
You know what? Jarvis, you know what they should do? Go grab a pennant and a straw hat and a coonskin jacket, you know, and huzzah, and go root. I mean, that world is gone, man. You're living in an anachronistic scenario that doesn't exist. We're talking about the football factories. The guys, if they had the balls, Will, would leave the NCAA and start their own sanctioning body, and they would have to give NCAA anything anyway.
The NCAA model was not built to sustain billion-dollar revenues. By the way, guys, the Pro Football Pick'em this year brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Most games right each week for your chance at $1,000. Get the best for the entire season. You can win a trip to Miami for the big game weekend and $5,000 as well.
Hey, man, it's Willie P. in for Carl today on vacay when we come back. Earlier in the week, Will, we caught up with Dave O'Brien. A lot of moves being made. Are the Braves going to step up and find the frontline starter? What's going to happen with Donaldson and Austin Riley? You'll get all that coming up next on Dukes and Bell.
It is Dukes and Bell, Willie P. in for Carl, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. There's been a lot of Braves off-field talk, especially involving the stuff involving Alex Anthopoulos from earlier in the week. I think we all kind of can agree that it was a bunch of hooey, if you know what I mean. We, of course, had Braves beat writer Dave O'Brien on with us earlier in the week here on Dukes and Bell. First thing we asked him, how surprised were you that the Braves did not pick up the contract of longtime member of the Braves, Julio Teheran?
I was a little bit, but I guess I had kind of underestimated the fact that they were able to get a pretty good gauge on what the trade market might be or lack thereof for him. And I think they determined that it wasn't worth risking trying to move a $12 million salary in spring and then all of a sudden being stuck with it. You know, if they thought they could do that, they would have and had him for insurance. But, you know, for a team with a middle payroll at best, $12 million is a little much for a back end of the rotation guy, which is what he is in this rotation, if he were to even make it. So in that regard, I guess it wasn't I guess I shouldn't have been too surprised if they didn't think they could trade him this winter.
He's the best in the business, man, Dave O'Brien. Catch him, read him in The Athletic, great stuff. And Dave, I was reading your blog talking about the Braves' moves. Will they actually invest in a guy like Gerrit Cole, which is the one big piece that you outlined everybody else had in the teams that advanced in the postseason and we didn't?
I don't think that they'll invest that high, but I think that they will go into that next tier. In other words, Gerrit Cole, I think, is in a – and now Strasburg, now that he's opted out of his deal with the Nationals, I think they're kind of in a realm all their own, far ahead of like the Bumgarners and the Zach Wheelers and even the Ryu, who's a Cy Young finalist. Even above them, because with Gerrit Cole at his age, you're talking about a guy who's probably going to get the largest pitching contract ever. And I just don't see the Braves going from not being willing to sign, you know, 3- and 4-year free agent pitchers to signing the most expensive free agent pitcher in the history of baseball. So I don't anticipate them at all being involved in, you know, because he's going to get $35 million a year probably for 8 years. You know, at least.
Wow.
And I just don't. This goes against what they don't believe in building a roster with long-term contracts that at the end of it are not going to be good. And even the team that signs him probably knows there's a real good chance that the last 2 or 3 years of that deal, he won't be worth what he's getting paid.
Right.
So I do see them going after a guy like a Bumgarner or a Wheeler. Those guys will cost draft picks, though, as because they were made qualifying offers yesterday, but Ryu was not made a qualifying offer, so he wouldn't come with that, and Cole Hamels wouldn't come with that. So there are guys out there, and then you know what else is an option is that we don't know who's going to be available in trade, but if a Corey Kluber, and I could see Cleveland trading a guy like Kluber this winter if they decide, you know what, we're not going to be a World Series contender next year, now's the time to move him. The Braves need to pull the trigger on a trade like that because we've seen just from last year when they had so many prospects that, you know, they didn't want to deal.
Right.
Even some of those prospects now are not worth as much as they would have been last year because they didn't have great years. And this happens every year. So it's time. You know, a lot of these guys are pushing Rule 5 being have to be protected. So if you could get a guy like Kluber and give up a top prospect to get him, I'd do it.
Do it.
And that way you don't give up draft picks. You don't take on a $30 million salary, but you get a frontline, true ace-type guy, and you go for it.
It is Dave O'Brien, guys, joining us, talking Braves. Everybody, you know, is on the Anthony Rendon, you know, tip right now. He's 29, obviously he plays third base, but we've got a third baseman, and we just offered him a qualifying offer, started a qualifying offer, at least a starting point.
Yeah.
You keep Donaldson, you don't chase Rendon, right? You go ahead and you make a deal with Josh Donaldson.
Same thing. Rendon goes in that same category as Gerrit Cole. Those are going to be the two guys that get the $300 million contracts this year, probably. Because you look at what Arenado got from the Rockies, and that's kind of the starting point with Rendon, especially with the offseason he had. So I don't see another team getting him without overpaying, because the Nationals are going to pay. The Nationals don't want to lose him, so they're going to be willing to go really high for him. And if another team's going to get him away from it, it's going to be with a longer deal or even higher AAV. So, and the Braves, like you said, they've got Josh Donaldson, who, you know, long-term, no, he's not as good as Rendon, obviously not. But he's 33 right now, and for the next couple of years, which is what you want, that's the way they're doing things, you know. He looks really good. I mean, this year he kept himself in great shape, never got hurt, played 155 games, and he just gives you an element that his team really lacked, I think, before he got here, and that's that swagger and toughness and that kind of – he just gives them an edge, and I just like what he brings to the clubhouse. And you lost McCann. You lost one of your vocal team leader, kind of cocky guy behind the scenes. People didn't see it with McCann, but he was like that behind right. clubhouse doors, always having fun, laughing, being loud. JD's just like that all the time. You know, people see it, so they know what he brings. But, you know, takes on Musgrove when he thinks he threw at him, that kind of thing. You know, on top of being a really good defensive third baseman, he could have won the Gold Glove this year. He led the league in defensive run save for third baseman. So I think if they can get him for a two or a two-year deal plus an option, I'd go $25 million for him, no doubt, for Donaldson.
It is Dave O'Brien, guys, breaking down a little hot stove action, because this is where it all begins, and hopefully the Braves will be proactive and not wait until the All-Star break to do some of this stuff. Dave, what's going to do? How do you handle Austin Riley other than hoping he shows up at Northport and he's got his swing back?
Yeah, that's a tough one. I mean, you know, for a while there, for a month and a half, he looked like the next superstar. I mean, he looked like a 40-home run guy.
Right.
And then teams exploited the weaknesses, the holes in his swing, and that happens in the major leagues, and that's when the young guys got to make adjustments, and he wasn't able to do it, you know, in a timely manner. So, you know, they still feel good about him long-term, but you can't go into next year counting on him at third base, so that's why you've got to sign Donaldson, or you got to trade for another guy, because you can't count on Austin Riley. After watching what he did in the second half, you cannot count on him to be your guy and then go up there and strike out once every two or three at-bats, you know, and hit 220 like he did after that huge first month and a half. So they like him long-term, but at the same time, he's not untouchable either. There's really no untouchables. There's no Sorokas and Acunas in this current group of prospects that are just totally untouchable. Maybe Ian Anderson's the closest, that pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
But the two outfielders they've got, Pache and Drew Waters, are both really good prospects, but neither one of them is absolutely untouchable like Acuna was. So, you know, and the same token, Austin Riley, while they like him long-term, if they would have signed JD to a 2-3-year deal, they'd listen to offers for Austin Riley. They like him in the outfield until they need him at third base.
Okay.
He can play the outfield. He's not bad at all out there. But there's still it's more likely he starts the year in AAA because Duvall is more likely to serve in the platoon with Markakis, you know, this platoon they have planned right now. If they don't go get another outfielder, that's more likely to be your platoon, not Austin Riley. He's probably going to start a year in AAA and really get, you know, hone that swing again and be ready to be a little more consistent when he gets there next time.
Dave, do you think we're going to lose any of the staff as far as other jobs? I know Ron Washington's name was being thrown out there. Does this staff stay the same?
Yeah, I think he was the only one. He's the only one I've seen mentioned or that I know was a candidate. He was a strong candidate in San Diego, but ended up being number two, losing out. And they would have liked to have him be their bench coach, but he liked him so much here that he wasn't going to leave just for a bench coach job. Kept kind of a lateral movement. Plus, you know, I mean, God forbid something happens to Snitker, but if something did, Washington is a guy that would probably take over. You know, he or Walt Weiss both are fully capable of moving into that managerial job here. And Wash knows how valuable he is here. I think he'd rather be an infield instructor and do what he does than be a bench coach. You know, he loves working with the kids. He's 64, 5 years old, but he loves hitting fungos every day one-on-one with those guys, with all his infielders. So, man, he's unbelievable. This guy said, you know, smokes like a chimney, but yet he's got more energy in his than anybody half his age on that staff.
Old school, man. Old school. Just like you, buddy. Totally just like you. School. It's a Dave O'Brien. Dave O'Brien's with us here on the WadeFord.com hotline talking some hot stove. And I'll explain to millennials later, Carl, what hot stove means. All right, buddy boy. So Fulte got his mojo back. What about Tukey?
Well, let's hope so. He didn't have it that last game.
All right, well, that one aside. What about Tukey? What about Newcomb? These guys have a shot to get back to being starters in this organization?
Nuke will get a chance this spring, depending on what they do this winter. If they go out and get two starters, he's not really going to be needed. But, you know, they're real solid with Soroka, Freed, and Fulte. I mean, you got to give him kudos. He did make some real big improvement after he came back from AAA, that last game aside. Those last two spots, they need to go out and get a guy like a Bumgarner or whomever, right. Like we talked about, and then maybe get two guys. But if they don't, then Nuke could get another shot at the rotation in spring. I don't anticipate seeing Tukey in there. He was way too inconsistent. I think it's more likely he'd be traded than anything. But, right. Who knows?
Dave, it's good to talk with you as always, man. Great info. We look forward to a big offseason. And check your stuff out, man. Read Dave O'Brien. We appreciate it, Dave. Thanks so much.
You got it. Thanks.
That's D.O.B. from earlier in the week right here on Dukes and Bell. We got Willie P. filling in for Carl today. Mm. And, again, you've said it to start the conversation there. The stuff that came out about Alex Anthopoulos, total grandstanding by Tony Clark and the Major League Baseball Players Association. I know that they are looking for anything they can to kind of prove collusion. We mentioned the 17-18 offseason was certainly curious as big names were certainly hanging around with, spring training opening up. But this year, the guys that were waited on, Kimbrel and Keuchel, Kimbrel was a bust, and Keuchel was nothing special for the Braves. Guys made $600 million between the two of them and Bryce Harper and Manny Machado.
Say, spoiler alert, they want more bang for their buck. Don't we all? So, who cares?
Right. I'm with you on that one. So, again, don't fret that Alex Anthopoulos nonsense. They can have their own little muckety-muck investigation with the Players Association. Just like Donald Fear-type nonsense from back in the day.
I need to get me some Hey Man before I get out of town.
Yeah, man. Don't forget, start your weekend with Hey Man Ale. It's everywhere. If you want to find it, go to aconeybrewing.com and just hit up Hey Man. There's stores, package stores, Max right here in Midtown, supermarkets too. Make it a Hey Man weekend if you head down to Athens. Speaking of which, we got the dog report coming up next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.